We're going to now move to the bylaw revisions and see how much run over we can get on that. Oh, we have 10 minutes for the bylaws. Okay. All right. Well, there you go. So it has me listed on this, but since I am not the motivator of any of these amendments, I will remove myself immediately and go to turn it over first to Jack Van Aken and then to Yosh Yamanaka, both of whom have, if the internet were made of paper, there was a deforestation program on bylaw amendments, but that's okay. So Jack and then Yosh. Okay.
I talked to Yosh about this, how to present these earlier today, and I think we could just divide them, and I'll cover the one on affiliates, which is the one that I've been sponsoring probably primarily, and then Yosh could present the other four, one of which is a bit redundant, and he can explain what the story is with that one. The important thing, though, for all of us to recognize is that in November, our LSB / assemblies of delegates need to vote on these amendments to complete the process. So everyone should be communicating with their LSB chair and with their local station board colleagues and be certain that there's a meeting scheduled in the month of November. The bylaws require it to occur, the vote to occur in that calendar month. The five amendments are available on pacificafoundation.org. They've been noticed properly, and there are carts running, I'm told, on all five stations. Maybe I'll turn it over to Yosh just to maybe we can briefly provide a synopsis of each amendment.
Sure. Thank you, Jack. Several of the proposed bylaws amendments are relate to each other. So if you do have any questions, I would ask that you hold those questions until after all four or five bylaws amendments have been discussed. The first one is Pacifica Bylaws Amendment Number 1, also designated as PBA Number 1, which relates to Article 17, Section 1, Subsection B, as in baby, which deals with the 12-month rule for amending the bylaws. Essentially, that amendment would shift the burden of requiring a supermajority vote of the PNB in order to conduct a balloting for proposed bylaws amendments from the subsequent board to the sitting board. This amendment has been co-sponsored by 10 directors. The second is PBA number 2, which proposes changes.
Yosh, would you just, did everybody understand that or not? Little,
more.
I, that's insufficient.
A little
for,
more.
I didn't understand it.
Well, currently the bylaws provides that if there's to be a second balloting anytime during a 12-month period. In other words, currently we are scheduled for consideration of bylaws amendments in November of 2008. Without this proposed bylaws amendment passing, that would hamstring the incoming PNB to raise a two-thirds majority vote in order to consider a second balloting prior to November of 2009. And by enacting this bylaws amendment, it would shift the burden from the 2009 PNB to the 2008 PNB so that if this sitting PNB wanted to consider another balloting of bylaws amendments in this, say, either in December or in January through proper 60-day notice, then this board would have to raise a two-thirds majority and say, yes, we approve a second set of bylaws, even though 12 months has not elapsed.
Okay, thank you. Next. Oh, sorry, everybody understand it? Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. PBA number 2 proposes changes to Article 6, Sections 3 and 4. The amendment to Section 3 would create a new third class of PNB meetings called, quote, monthly, close quote, meetings. It would permit, please hold your laughter until the end of the presentation.
I was telling people about this bizarro joke about the expansion of Starbucks, that they realized that Starbucks had opened up a Starbucks inside of a Starbucks. That's what we do with meetings.
Okay. This bylaw amendment would permit monthly meetings to be held telephonically or using videographic equipment. Under the existing bylaws, all PNB meetings other than in-person meetings are special meetings. Unfortunately, special meetings have a very rigorous notice requirement, thereby permitting any single director to oppose any new item of business which was not placed on the agenda at least 7 days prior to that special meeting. The creation of this new category of monthly meetings will facilitate the adoption of new items on the agenda after the notice period.
May I ask a question? Does it require monthly meetings?
No, I don't think it's required monthly meetings.
Serious.
But, you know, it would be a wonderful breath of fresh air if we could skip a monthly meeting or skip, you know.
Skip a weekly meeting. How about skipping a weekly meeting? That would be good. Okay, good.
It just creates a new category saying these are regular monthly meetings, and so therefore, you know, if you want to raise a new item for the agenda, even though the meeting is tomorrow, then you don't have someone saying, objection, we haven't had 7 days notice. If there are no further questions, I'll go on to PBA number 2, the second half, which is Article 6, Section 4. That would shorten the notice required for in-person meetings as well as the newly created monthly meetings from 30 days to 21 days. The shorter notice requirement would give the PNB greater flexibility to hold the next monthly meeting in less than 30 days. Any questions about that?
Which one? The second one?
And just as an aside, I would urge the incoming PNB in January, at the January in-person, to try to schedule the subsequent three in-person meetings. If not then in January, then at least to schedule the monthly meetings well in advance, and then by the February monthly meeting to try to schedule the three subsequent in-person meetings so we can save costs down the road.
Okay, Bonnie has a question on number 2.
I guess I just got a little lost along the way on this one. So what is this saying, that telephonic or videographic appearance at meetings scheduled as in-person meetings is not permitted except when the fourth in-person is held pursuant to Article 6?
Correct.
That was new to me. Sorry, I must have lost the thread somewhere along the way here. What does that mean?
All right. There is, I think, further down in this discussion, a discussion of eliminating the fourth in-person meeting for 2008. And if that fourth in-person is canceled and it is replaced by a monthly meeting, then provision should be made that it could be held telephonically or videographically. On the other hand, this meeting and the prior meetings, the January meeting in New Jersey and the summer meeting, no, maybe it wasn't summer, it was the April meeting in Houston, those should not have been held telephonically and or videographically. I hope I made myself a little bit clearer. No.
No.
Basically, it says that if we do cancel the fourth in-person, then we can substitute that in-person with a telephone conference and or a video conference.
Margaret?
Yeah, just for clarification, you're mentioning a fourth meeting. Is the intention that if a meeting, an in-person meeting, has to be canceled, whether it's the third or the fourth or whatever, due to, you know, fiscal, whatever the reasons are, that a meeting could be video conference, for example, or are you making it specific to a fourth meeting? You know what I mean? I don't know if that
question about it appears to be specific to the fourth meeting to me. Am I reading that wrong?
No, you're right. It's specific to the fourth meeting, which is canceled or which is replaced by a videographic or a telephonic meeting.
Why is that?
So if I might understand this, going along with what Margaret was just saying, are you saying that if there were, for instance, a meeting coming up in Houston and there was a hurricane and no one was able to fly into Houston, but we were able to do it either through videograph or telephonically, that we wouldn't be allowed to because it wasn't the fourth meeting?
No, it doesn't have to be meeting number four. It could be any of the three meetings after the January in-person.
But it says fourth. So.
It says, except when the fourth in-person is held pursuant to Article 6, Section 1. I'm sorry, I'm just not following you.
Well, then.
The language.
Kathy?
Perhaps you can say if this is what, how I understand this to mean, or the purpose of this motion, is that our bylaws mandate that we have four in-person meetings. And this amendment would demand that we have at least three in-person meetings. And aside from the January, any one of the other three can be canceled and replaced by a video conference.
Well,
so that's how I understood.
Okay, but that's what everybody understands.
That is certainly the intent.
The language is a problem.
Yeah. Language is a problem.
Let's say it like you just
said it. You want to write that down?
Okay.
Okay, Carolyn.
You might want to just substitute one of the four meetings instead of the word the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Would that clarify things somewhat?
Yeah. Sorry.
Would you accept that as a change without having to vote on that?
Yet? I'm sorry, we shouldn't have a back and forth. If just so that I'm understanding this, why would we be deciding that it's okay, even though we don't know the circumstance that we might be asking to do this, that one of the four could be done telegraphically or telephonically or videographically? And I just think we're creating sort of a bizarre constraint here.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn.
Yeah, my feeling is that the intention was good. I think this is in response to the request that we save some money on in-person. Is that correct, Neil?
Yes, that's
that,
right.
That was the general intent. And I applaud the intent, and especially your motions, which I always find really very well crafted. However, in principle, I really want to argue against canceling face-to-face meetings. I think they're invaluable. Sitting around here like this, being able to talk, to meet, to argue face-to-face is just too important to cancel. If something, perhaps we could write something that would allow us to do it in the event of an emergency, such as the hurricane or whatever.
Or finances.
No. I think it's an important point. I don't just weather, that's right. I think that it's an investment in our getting along. Enemy attack, yes. That's another exception. But I think it's an investment in the future of governance and the foundation. And so I would be against anything that allowed us a wedge to cancel any one of the face-to-face meetings.
Okay.
May I
continue or respond?
Thank you. I do want to read the exact language, if you don't have it in front of you. Specifically addressing Bonnie's concerns and apparently the concerns of several other directors. Article 6, Section 1, if the amendment is adopted, would the proposed change would read as follows. The board shall also meet in person no fewer than three other times each year, unless by a two-thirds vote the board determines that financial or other emergency conditions require canceling one of the other three meetings. In the event that such an in-person meeting is canceled, the board shall arrange for a telephonic and or electronic meeting that includes provision for public comment during the meeting by broadly accessible means. So I'm not sure where you're getting the fourth meeting. This suggests that if one of the three remaining in-persons has to be replaced by a telephonic meeting, then it can proceed in that manner.
We're down to two meetings.
Yes. Go ahead, Bonnie.
I think part of my confusion is coming because you have language within Section 3, telephonic meetings, and maybe it's just me, but it seems to be contrary to what you were just saying. In that telephonic meeting section, it says that telephonic or videographic appearance at meetings scheduled as in-person meetings is not permitted except when the fourth in-person is held pursuant to Article 6, Section 1.
Right. I guess that should have been more artfully written as one of the four instead of the fourth. When one of the four in-persons has to be replaced due to emergency conditions. But anyway, it's there. And so it's up to you and the other directors to vote either up or down on that proposed amendment.
So we can't fix the language?
I do not believe. Jack and I, you know, and Terry Goodman have had very, very extensive discussions regarding whether you can amend after the after the notice date. And, you know, at least Jack and I concur, although Terry disagrees. We believe that once it's noticed and posted, you can't just go after the fact on the 59th day or the 30th day to say, oh, I left out a comma or a period or an and, and so guess what? Even though I've not given you 60 days notice, we're going to vote on something a little bit different. I don't think that's permitted.
Okay, and would you move on to the final? Are there more questions? That was on number 2. 3 was presented, and I don't think 4 was yet. Am I correct? Yosh.
I was going to take number 4.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, number 4 has to do with the timeline of the affiliate directors' elections, which, according to the current bylaws, take place in the spring. There are two, sort of problems with that. One is that the affiliate directors then are not in sync with the rest of the board, and they don't have the same opportunity to participate in committee elections to the PMB committees. The other problem that I see logistically is that, especially a year like this where we've had a change of leadership, the first couple months of the board is sort of assembling committees and doing a lot of just getting up and running, and to add a very sensitive election procedure into those first 3 months seems to me to be quite a burden to place on the board, and really could have bogged us down if it hadn't been that in the last 2 years the board has chosen to alter that timeline into the fall and winter so that the affiliate directors are then elected in December, which is pretty close to when the other directors are elected, so they can all be seated together. The board has chosen to go the route of adopting a special rule to affect this the last 2 years. I, as a sort of a purist about the bylaws, think it's preferable to amend the bylaws so that we can be in compliance with the bylaws, especially when we're electing directors. So really, this does nothing more than change the timeline. It has a couple of consequences, such as how the election is actually held, which would be in conformity with the way it's been done, which is the current practice. So the nominations for the affiliate candidates would close on November 15th. There's a slight clarification that all of the nomination materials are submitted in writing to the foundation secretary for forwarding to the board, which is already explicit in the bylaws as written, but that makes it very clear so nobody stops at that sentence and forgets that the materials need to be forwarded on to the PNB. Because the bylaws as written seem to presuppose that the election will take place at an in-person meeting where only members present would be allowed to vote, what's been happening is that this has been taking place either by mail ballot or by email ballot, which has a different set of rules where actually everybody can vote. And usually the email ballot logically would require that everyone waive a certain degree of the privacy of the ballot because somebody has to collect those ballots and verify that they're legitimate. In the past, it's been the secretary and other people have assisted with the election, such as myself. So I include a 30-day notice for that election, which is a very sensitive matter. Election of directors, I think, minimum 30 days public notice that such an election will take place. And then during at a December meeting, the national board would decide whether they want to vote by email or by paper mail. And then the affiliate directors would be elected at the January meeting.
Questions? Go ahead.
I, as the one of the two affiliate reps and chair of the PMB's affiliate task force, I wanted to thank Jack for taking up our concern on this issue and drafting both the special rule for the upcoming elections and institutionalizing the elections for the future, and to also thank the co-sponsors who joined in this bylaw.
Any questions?
Okay, I'll just add parenthetically on the agenda for this meeting, there will be a special rule which is analogous in every way to this proposed amendment.
There is a fifth amendment on the table, PBA number 5, and that deals with Article 6, Section 3, as did PBA number 2. PBA number 5 attempts to eliminate the restriction against holding so-called regular PNB meetings by telephone or video conference. Unfortunately, the bylaws as presently written merges regular meetings with in-person meetings. There's no distinction between the two. Therefore, adoption of this amendment would result in the implied creation of an unnamed class of PNB meetings, distinct from in-person and special meetings. This ambiguity is resolved by the specification of, quote, monthly meetings in PBA number 2, and therefore, I urge directors and delegates to support PBA number 2 and reject PBA number 5. Thank you.
Good work, Yosh. Good work, Yosh.
Read it again, please, Yosh. Would you read that again, please?
Verbatim, Madam Chair?
Why not?
Okay, certainly. PBA number 5 deals with Article 6, Section 3, as did PBA number 2. It attempts to eliminate the restriction against holding, quote, regular PNB meetings by telephone or video conference. Unfortunately, the bylaws, as presently written, merges regular meetings with in-person PNB meetings. Therefore, adoption of this amendment would result in the implied creation of an unnamed class of PNB meetings, which are distinct from in-person and special meetings. This ambiguity is resolved by the specification of monthly meetings set forth in PBA number 2. Therefore, I urge adoption of PBA number 2 and rejection of PBA number 5.
Didn't you just say you urged a rejection of 2 and then, okay, never mind.
No, no. Please support 2. Please reject 5.
All right. I'm going the other way, too. Okay. You all look right on top of this. Yeah.
I'm perfect. I understand what he's saying.
Okay.
But this is just so complicated. I don't know about anybody. I'm not shy to say it.
I don't think this has cleaned anything up.
I know yours is a lot of work, but am I the only one here that thinks it's confusing?
Oh, no.
Is it in writing anywhere?
Yeah.
It is in writing.
I have my iPhone, so maybe if you could, because, you know, I don't like to vote on anything that I am not clear on. Yeah, I don't want to have to abstain.
Yeah, you don't have to vote until November.
Well, is it able to forward it to my
iPhone? I will forward these written comments to the PMB.
Okay. All right.
So
thanks.
What action is required
right now,
Jack? Nothing?
Nothing. Just that we all make sure that our LSBs schedule delegates meetings in the month of November to consider these and try to get up to speed on them. They're not going to be probably of great interest to a lot of LSB members because
they
all
lined up.
Deal with, as you can see, we sort of cleaned the room out. But they all deal with internal workings of the PNB.
All right. I'm going to do Rob and then Nicole. Rob Robinson,
yes.
It's you.
Thank you, Ms. Chair.
Madam. Mademoiselle.
Ms. Chair.
That's fine with me. Everybody's jumping.
I was trying not to address you as a madam.
No, it's fine. The second.
But I will.
It was my second best profession. But go ahead.
Okay. My request to Yosh and Jack is that they develop a cover letter which can be sent to the LSB chairs. One of the things that happens at the LSBs, whenever there is a discussion of amending the bylaws, there is always some element in our wonderful family that decides that these are thinly veiled conspiracies to seize control of the network and destroy civilization as we know it.
Yeah. Not a bad idea.
Our chair is hitting on all 8 cylinders today. So if we could get something like that to the LSB chairs to arm them for the discussions.
Disarm them.
To prepare them so that they can explain what these amendments are and are not about, do and do not do, it will prevent a certain amount of confusion from arising and will be more likely to get passed. So that's just a request I would make. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nicole.
Just a brief question to Jack or Yosh. Do we need any more on-air component to this?
No, I don't think so.
So we're done with the on-air announcements, et cetera? Okay, thank you.
Once they run their course.
Exactly right. But there won't be anything further expected from the stations once they run their course.
No, it'd be nice if the stations got in the habit of announcing LSB meetings regularly.
Oh, please. It'd be nice.
All right. I'm calling you out of order, Jack.
I concur, Jack.
Okay. So I think then that despite having run late, that we're 20 minutes late moving into. But let me just go around the room one more time. Any questions?
God, no.
So we are public. We're going to go into.
Wait. Oh. We got to do the special rule. I'm an affiliate.
Oh, okay. Sorry. What are we going to do?
This is a special rule so that this year the affiliate director's election can take place in November, December time frame rather than next spring.
Is there any objection? No. motivate this?
Yeah. Well, this has been the practice over the last 2 years, and we just need a motion to authorize that the appropriate parties can go ahead and notify the affiliates themselves that the nominations are open, and it will set our timeline.
Okay. Do I have a motion to that effect? Second?
Second.
Any objection? Seeing none? Okay. Special rule is adopted. And for those in the audience, we are going to move into executive session for about an hour. Sorry to make you guys. Yes? We have public comment scheduled at after we come back. We have for this evening's session. So I think that we're going to, we're going to do the public comment just when we come back from our break. I'm hoping that we can move through this. Then we go to break at 4 and come back here at 5. We have the PFW report from both Ron Pinchback and Jim Brown, the LSB chair, and public comment at that time.
Okay. We may have more public, too.
Yeah,
yes,
we may have more public later. So I apologize to you guys. Take some coffee or whatever is there. Take the chairs. And we'll see you back. This executive session is only an hour. Then we go to break. You're all very welcome to come back and join us for the break and then resume.
Madam Chair.
The topic of this executive session are certain solutions to problems that the network is facing and strategies. Any part of the discussion that can be held in public, we will hold it in public for you.
Point of order, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Because we're running so far behind and we do have a fixed
schedule.
We're not
bad.
No, but we do have a fixed schedule in the evening. Mm-hmm. Could we make public comment at a time certain, say 5 p.m., no matter what?
It's 5:45 p.m., no matter what.
All right, good. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn, for that.